CTV.
I really want there to be peace and understanding between the genders. I'm tired of the gender war. It's a giant misunderstanding. Men don't understand women. Women don't understand men. Neither one of them are communicating very well. And I pray that my books on this topic, and this is a hobby of mine, this topic, you know, my main thrust is Paul's gospel and the grace of God and opposing, contradicting, and exposing and rebuking religious hypocrisy in the world. But you know what? If Satan wants to destroy the message of God, he will try to destroy the world. He will try to destroy society and culture. In order to do that, all he has to do is destroy the family unit. We know that Satan has made great inroads in destroying the family. To destroy the family, he needs to destroy husbands and wives. He needs to wreck marriages. And to wreck marriages, all he has to do is use sex. Sex is the wrecking of marriages. So in teaching on the topic of sex, I am by extension saving society. It's a start. We have a happy home, your children are happy, and the family unit is happy. If enough people are happy, then the society, the neighborhood will be happy, the city, it just goes on. And it starts with men and women in the bedroom. And I'm sorry, but marriage is all about sex. Why am I apologizing? Did I just say I'm sorry? I take it back. I'm not sorry. God did it. I've heard a woman told me years ago, Martin, quit saying it's all about sex. It's not all about sex. It is all about sex. If it weren't for sex, you'd be roommates. That's the difference between a husband and a wife and a platonically functioning couple. It's sex. So yes, I'm sorry, but there's so much misunderstanding about this topic, so much resentment, so much pain, so much hurt feelings that go unsaid. Resentments build up. Resentment, resentment, resentment. And I like to iron some of this stuff out. This is my book that will help do that. Also, the book Eve Raised, Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. People say, Martin, why is your name so big on the cover? It's because I love my name and I want it to be as big as possible. Now, isn't it interesting? Yesterday we discovered that Solomon, when he's adoring his bride, he starts at the bottom and goes toward the top. Starts at her feet, ends at her head. She, on the other hand, adoring him, writing very poetically about him, starts at his head and goes down from there toward his feet. This is by design. Men should not become more like women. Women should not become more like men. This is why I always like the emphasizing of the genders. I'm all for it. This is why I like when women look more like women, men look more like men. And this was even true in the law of Moses. God no likey when men dress like women. Yeah, God wants to keep. Of course, I know that this whole culture rot is designed to happen. I know that. Overall, of course, it's all being orchestrated by God. But in the meantime, I'm fighting for a little peace and a little happiness before we depart this earth. Now, I know women tend to resent that they are sexual creatures and that they are put on this earth partly, not wholly, not completely, partly because of what I've been telling you, a reflection, an indication on earth that God is beautiful. Some women resent it, and it's so easy. I can see the problem that the women have. It's so easy to feel objectified and to feel like you're just being looked at as a sexual creature. My remedy for this is to just accept that you are a sexual creature. It's just, you don't fight it anymore. Things will go a lot better. Honestly, I believe it. I'm not being funny or anything. I have this hypothetical conversation in the book on page 52 between me and a young girl who notices that her boyfriend is really focusing on her body. And this is her complaint. I'm reading from my book. A young girl I know sees these principles. What principles? That is, the principles of this follows the section of Solomon and his bride, that Solomon starts at her feet and goes up. She starts at his head and goes down. A young girl has problems with this principle, especially with her new boyfriend. She says, he can't take his eyes off my body. I ask, is that bad? She says, I want a relationship with him. How long have you known him? 2 weeks. Give it time. He'll work his way to your soul. But for him, this is where the attraction starts. Where? I pointed to her low-cut jeans. In my belly button? No, Janine, your figure. You have a wonderful figure. But I want spiritual oneness with Ryan. You're assuming he doesn't? Well, he does believe in God, then he'll get there. He'll get there. The phrase opposite sex didn't come out of nowhere, Janine. Women go to the soul first, then the body. For men, the body is the conduit to the soul. Huh, that sounds profound, but hey, I'm not having sex with him. Janine, I'm not talking about jumping in the sack. Ryan is infatuated with your packaging. This is a good thing. Sex isn't just doing it with somebody. It's the fullness of the energy. There's energy between you, right? I mean, you don't seem too upset that Ryan's a star football player. The guy's got great arms. Oh, I love Ryan's body. I just want to make sure that he loves me for me. I see. Well then, gain 40 pounds, stop washing your face, contract acne, chop your hair off, dress in a bag, and wear army boots. What? Grow a mustache, Janine. Chew skull and overhaul a Chevy. Then you'll know for sure if he loves you for you. Hey, Zender, what are you trying to hand me? A clue, Janine. I'm trying to hand you a clue. How many times? Boy, if I had a dollar, even a nickel, for every time I heard, can't you love me for me? It goes back to the objectification accusation. But again, as I told you yesterday, speaking for men, we're not attracted to that body part apart from you. In this example, what is loving somebody for who they are? I mean, let's take sex out of it for a moment. Some women, they won't fall for a man who doesn't make a certain amount of money. Or some people are turned off by people who don't have education. Some people are turned off by people who have a certain kind of job. Some people don't like men who are bald. Some women don't like men who have hair. I mean, there's so many variables, so many subjective opinions people have. Women about what they like and don't like about men about what they like and don't like about women. Can anybody really get down to the essence and say, just love me for me? Just love me for me. Don't love me because I have 42-inch chest. Don't love me because I am an executive at Chrysler and I make 7 figures a year. Love me for me. But the me, the essential person, includes all these other things. Everybody is a package deal. And so my challenge to Janine was, well, if you want to make sure he loves you for you, then get rid of everything, right? Chop your hair off, dress in a bag, chew skull, just purposely try to turn people off. Who does that? Do you purposely try to turn people off? Well, if you're not doing that on purpose, which is good, and you're trying to make people like you, and you're doing things, taking care of yourself, exercising, eating right, you're doing things so that people like you, don't resent it when they like you for those things that you have done. Wow, I make sense for a living. It's a burden sometimes, but I love it. So ladies, accept your beautiful, enviable role, and a smile at a man today. This is my assignment for you. I want you to put some makeup on, and I want you to purposely catch the eye of a man and just smile at him. Just smile. You will make his day. There are some men out there, I mean, everybody is, you know, like, who said it? Was it Ralph Waldo Emerson or Henry David Thoreau? I think it was Henry David Thoreau who says that men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. I think that applies to both sexes. But there are many miserable, poor men. Maybe they've lost their wives. Maybe they're struggling with employment issues. Maybe they just think God hates them. I'm saying that you, woman, the glory of God's creation, the pinnacle of his creative prowess, the creme de la creme, you can change a man's day. Any man, just look at him and smile. I'm telling you, you have that power in you to radiate the life of God. And don't resent that maybe it starts with beauty. Maybe it starts there. You remember the glory train? It starts with God and ends with a woman's hair. Your hair is a mute testament of God. Let it shine, let it fall. Don't torture it. Let it go. Beautify yourself as much as you are able and make the world a better place. I mean that literally. Now, and let men open doors for you. I love opening doors for women of all ages. Yeah, all ages. Love it. Let it happen. It's a beautiful thing. Men want to sacrifice for you. They want to do something for you. If they're anything like me, they're amazed that they're on the same planet as you, and they just want to be of assistance. They want to serve. Now, I saw it coming. Somebody mentioned in the comment on my video, somebody mentioned 2 Peter. Nope, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about the wives. I'm going to quote this, and I'm going to correct what is a misunderstood passage. I'm not going to correct the passage. The passage reads beautifully as it is written by the circumcision apostle, but I'm going to correct people's understanding of it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives may do it. I don't want to get into the larger context here, but by being subject to their husbands, that if any are stubborn, that is, if any of the husbands are stubborn as to the word, they will be gained without a word through the behavior of their wives, being spectators of your pure behavior in fear, whose adornment, this is the critical part, because I've been talking about women being adorned. I've been talking about, thumbs up, I'm encouraging women to adorn themselves and to put on some makeup, let their hair hang down, make the world a better place, smile at a man, let a man open the door for you. All's good. Especially do this for your husband. That should go without saying, right? But some women don't do it for their husbands. And this is why. I'm sorry, but I think some women resent the fact that their husbands see them primarily as a sexual being, and that the men are enraptured, entranced. Watch that video again yesterday of those boys, those schoolboys with the gorgeous teacher. I think women resent that men look at them sexually. They look at them, they think they're being objectified, but they're not. Men just love the differences. And I think that they're so upset by that they purposely withhold the very thing that the man wants. I've seen it happen. I'm not accusing anyone in my audience of doing this, but I have seen it happen. That some women tend to so resent what God made them, sexual beings, that they actually turn the faucet off and they will not give their own husbands the one thing that their husbands really need. And it's the matter of love language, right? You've heard about love language. I had a friend who said, you know, my wife keeps telling me all the things she does for me. I clean your clothes, you know, I wash your underwear, I pack your lunch for work, I do all these things. And yeah, he appreciates all that, but that wasn't his love language. His love language was physical touch. That's what really did it for him. And if she had listened to him and paid attention to what he needs, his love language, and all these other things were really non-essentials. So to the man, all these other things were non-essentials. That she might pack his lunch for work, or she might wash his underwear. You know? Yeah. What will really make me feel loved is this. And men, you need to listen to your wife's love language as well. What does it for her? Right? Maybe it's you cleaning the toilet after you use it. Nice things like that. So let's all help each other out, shall we? So Peter says, whose adornment let it not be the outside of braiding aughts into the hair of decking with gold or putting on of garments, but the hidden human of the heart in the incorruptibility of a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly. Now, a man made a comment on my video yesterday. He said, see, you're telling women to adorn themselves. And Peter says, your adornment, let it not be outside of braiding things into the hair, of decking with gold, or putting on of garments. There's the key, that last thing, putting on of garments, that makes us understand the whole passage. Peter is not saying, don't adorn yourself. He's saying, oh my gosh, I've gone this far. I brought my cologne out here. This is a good part of my address here to put my cologne on. Peter's not saying don't adorn yourself. He's saying don't let your adornment be that thing that defines you in the eyes of your husband, in the eyes of the world, or in the eyes of God. So true adornment is a meek and quiet spirit. That's true adornment. So the woman who has her priorities straight and is revering God, her true adornment will be that meek and quiet spirit. It doesn't mean that woman who now has everything in place with God can then put something in her hair, wear some gold. And the fact that Peter's not telling women to not braid never braid your hair, never wear gold, never adorn yourself outside, is the fact that he includes in this list of things not to do the putting on of garments. So he's saying, don't let your adornment be the putting on of garments. So if that man who objected to my teaching yesterday would be consistent, he's basically saying, no, Martin, you're wrong. Women shouldn't put anything into their hair. Women shouldn't be decking themselves with gold. Oh, okay, let's follow through then. Women shouldn't be putting on garments. Okay, I might be able to fly with this theory. Yeah, let women not be putting on garments. So that last clause there, that last thing Peter says, obviously Peter's not telling you not to do this. He's not saying don't wear gold, don't braid anything in your hair, don't wear garments. Don't wear garments. Because he's just saying, let not the garment be the defining thing that sets you right with God. It's like, look, I'm a great woman because I'm wearing a gold necklace. That's why I'm a great woman. Peter says, no, don't let your adornment be that. Let your adornment be a mild and quiet spirit. But once you have that down, once you have the mild and quiet spirit down, then if you want to wear gold, that's fine. That's an adornment. Don't let it be the adornment. Don't let it be the adornment. You see, it just makes sense when you look at the context and you look at the putting on of garments. Yes, because even any garment you put on, it's instantly going to be something nice. The alternative here is that we all be like the Muslim women who cover their bodies in black, which is a slap in the face of God of how he made them. And this, we're not going toward this, are we? No, we're not becoming legalistic. We're not telling women not to wear gold. If this man who objected to what I said yesterday would be consistent, he would say, nope, women don't wear any gold. I guess you can wear silver, because Peter doesn't say anything about that. He says you can't put anything in your hair, so women know. Well, I would actually be for that. As the women, what women put in their hair, they're usually torching it and pulling it tighter than a Remo snare drum head. No, I'm not for that at all. But the idea here being the adorned. And yet, again, God describes the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a wife adorned for her husband. Yes, adorn yourselves, ladies. Yes, but don't make that. Don't let the outside, here's Peter's point, don't let the outside be the definition of you. The definition of you is your mild and quiet spirit. What is outside, whatever you put on your body, whatever you put into your hair, however you wear your hair, that is an accessory. It is on top of the true adornment that you have, women, and that is a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly.